This is the Future Great City podcast from nextstl.com. I'm Alex Eaton. Today, we're talking to Ben Hilliker, founder and CEO of Hilliker Corporation, an independent commercial real estate firm in St. Louis, now celebrating its 30th year. So today we're with Ben Hilliker of Hilliker Corporation. If you've been in St. Louis at all, you've seen Hilliker signs everywhere, I think. I rode my bike to work today and probably passed three or four on the way, which will soon be sold, I'm sure. So, but welcome, Ben, and please tell us kind of, you know, what you're doing in St. Louis and I guess a little bit of your history here.
Well, I'm commercial industrial realtor. Who's the founder of Hilliker Corporation, commercial industrial real estate firm, 30 years ago. That was after 12 years of being an agent of commercial industrial real estate. And the basic direction that Hilliker Corporation has gone over the years is to serve the local institutions and entrepreneurs. More and more, there's been a direction of commercial industrial realtors toward the national firms, mm-hmm. and certainly we work with national firms. But there's been something of a vacuum left for the local entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And you cover all types of industrial and corporate property, or office space, production, you know, manufacturing facilities, and
we handle any business-related property. Mm-hmm. No residential, unless it's an apartment complex or something like this.
Well, so I find it interesting because on your website, and you just mentioned it as well, that you you focus somewhat on entrepreneurs. When did I assume that's a shift? I imagine in 1985 or 1990, you know, catering to entrepreneurs was not at least part of the vernacular, not more what you were talking about.
We didn't say that at that time because it was more common for that to be done. And so it didn't distinguish us particularly from others. Mm-hmm. But as other firms started concentrating working with national accounts, you can only work so many directions at one time. Mm-hmm. And we found that it was a field that the entrepreneurs were not local ones, were not getting the service we felt they should. And selfishly speaking, it made it easier for us because the competition was kind of going away from that area.
Mm-hmm. Great. So one thing that we're sitting here at 4168 Manchester at Space Architecture and Design, mm-hmm. and you mentioned is before we got started that you've sold this building twice and leased it at least once. So maybe this is a good starting point as kind of a window into St. Louis real estate. Maybe you can describe, you know, maybe not the particulars of those sales, but how this particular property has kind of gone up and down and what you've seen in this neighborhood.
Well, first of all, of course, the area that the your building is in is experiencing a rejuvenation. Mm-hmm. And but when I first sold the building, it was sliding downward as far as business activity was concerned and values. Mm-hmm. And a company called U.S. Tape and Label had outgrown the building, and they weren't looking in the area for their new building. I sold them a building out in the Page Warson area near Lindbergh. Mm-hmm. Sold the building to J&J Cookie Company. You can guess what their business was from their name,
sure.
I think.
Yeah.
But the neighborhood was sliding as far as interest of mm-hmm. businesses being here. And that's turned around.
And when would this have been? What year was that?
Well, I first sold the building before I'd started Hilliker Corporation, and that was, this would have been around 1979 or mm-hmm. something like that.
Well, and it's no surprise you say, you know, the neighborhood, there was less commercial interest. I mean, the entire city, you know, I don't know, I think we lost 25% mm-hmm. of the city's population at that point, and probably the same percentage of jobs and everything else. So it had to be a fascinating time just seeing nothing to call it other than an exodus kind of firsthand.
It was a little discouraging, mm-hmm. frankly. The certainly it was good for business in that people and companies were wanting to move.
Yeah, well, things were selling and people were buying.
We work on discontent. Mm-hmm. Someone has to be unhappy with where they are.
Right. Hopefully outgrown
and
moving on.
We are here to solve that problem for them. Mm-hmm. And at that time, businesses wanted to move out to the county. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way. Now, part of it was the character of the real estate in the city. Mm-hmm. And that
just old buildings and old infrastructure. And
multi-story buildings, which had been built as multi-story industrial buildings, that just doesn't work well.
Right.
Anymore.
Right. It works if you're making shoelaces or shoes or something like that, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe not for that anymore either, but
it's the single-level industrial building is what is really needed today for most industrial uses, not all. Mm-hmm.
So we had this kind of long period then when we have, multi-story auto manufacturing buildings in the city, which obviously is from a completely different era. And so that somehow those buildings have existed and stayed viable to the point where they could be redone as residential most often, I suppose. I don't know, maybe you can speak to when that turn happened. So we kind of have a downward slide in terms of manufacturing and interest in pretty, what was a pretty bland building like this one. And then at some point we made the leap where these things started gaining value in a lot of cases.
Well, the turnaround in the loft buildings, the farmer industrial buildings that were used for manufacturing women's wear or hats.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the garment district, people just call it Washington Avenue, but it was literally a row of beautiful historic buildings, again, what we think of now, but it was manufacturing, right? It was a district
that
made clothing and hats and shoes and shoelaces and everything else, so...
Yes, and the around 1990, the idea came up around. Who originated it? I don't know. Can't claim credit for it. That to convert these to residential buildings. The result was very dynamic. Certainly, it was dynamic as far as the value of the properties were concerned. To give a hypothetical example, if there was a building on Washington Avenue or at Lafayette Square, Lafayette Park, that had been a multi-story industrial building, the value of that building could very quickly be calculated, assuming it was in watertight condition. Mm-hmm. If it was we'll call it a 50,000 square foot building, 10,000 square feet per level, mm-hmm. five stories, obviously, the value of that building would be $100,000. $10 a square foot for the first level, zero per square foot for the upper levels.
Right. Because it was just impossible to find a use. I mean, there wasn't interest.
Well, you could find users for a long-term storage or something like this.
Yeah.
But the value there, let's say you were renting the building out. Mm-hmm. If you could rent that at 50 cents a square foot, you were doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, just the cost of the taxes, the insurance, and upkeep of the building, plus the fact that it's usually going to be empty about half the time, mm-hmm. Meant that you weren't going to make any money on it. You were doing well to break even. Mm-hmm. Well, if no income means no investment value. But with the conversions to the condominiums, this changed radically. Mm-hmm. And it didn't matter what level we're speaking of, the values jumped to $20 to $30 a square foot.
Yeah.
Well, if we just take the low level of $20 a square foot, the simple math is that the building that in, say, 1988 would have sold for $100,000 mm-hmm. in the early 90s would bring $1 million.
Yeah. That's a nice turnaround on your investment. So you saw this coming and you bought lots and lots of vacant buildings, right?
let me say that I've foreseen a lot of things that have happened. Mm-hmm. This was not one.
Yeah.
I was certainly happy to ride the wave, and my company was when it happened. And I believe we've sold more buildings for conversion to condominiums than any other firm in town. Mm-hmm. We work more in the city than most firms.
Well, amazingly, so to give a lot of people in St. Louis have an idea of what's happened, but certainly the region has sprawled and people left the city and now, in the last decade, people might have started trickling out of the county even. So we're sprawling. We're growing widely as a region, growing further out. But at the same time, we've added, 3,000 or 4,000 residents in downtown St. Louis, which was never a residential area. I mean, it was manufacturing and office. And so now you have most of the old historic buildings filled with apartments and condos. And there's maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 left, maybe.
Well, they are certainly being converted, and they're decreasing supply of those which can be converted. Another activity going on now, which greatly will help ground downtown, I believe, is the incubator use of space. When I say incubator, I mean incubator of businesses.
Right, the startup T-Rex.
The T-Rex and the Farmer Lambert Furniture Building on the periphery of downtown, really getting toward Midtown, the Cortex.
Right.
And I believe these entrepreneurs who are in T-Rex, for example, find that there's a energy there that they of activity that feeds their creativity. One of the great things about downtown St. Louis when it was flourishing is that there was so much going on.
It's amazing for me. I've been here about 10 years, so I haven't. I saw St. Louis Center before it finally locked its doors, right? But you look at these pictures, especially from the 60s, you see these pictures of, I think it was Shopping for Christmas or something, and you just can't see the street. It's just wall-to-wall people. I mean, it's amazing how vibrant that must have been.
Well, it was really a era and an area of activity that stirred mental thought. Mm-hmm. Someone working in an office could look out their window and see all kinds of activity on the street. They'd go out to lunch, and they would have within 100 or 200 feet, perhaps 40 restaurants to pick from. Everything from a corner bar type restaurant or lunch counter type restaurant to a fine dining with linen tablecloth.
Sure.
They're within, let's say they worked in the chemical building at 8th and Olive. Mm-hmm. Walked out the door, they were within less than 200 feet of two department stores.
Right.
They had all kinds of about anything you wanted, and not far from a third one. It was just an area of vibrant activity. Mm-hmm. And the residential is bringing that back, and the restaurants and lounges that go with that are bringing it back. I think this is what the incubator businesses are finding, that there's energy there, and they, of course, are building the energy. And just being close to other businesses that in the same building that are energetic and growing.
Do you get the sense, and you're in a lot of ways on the ground level here, is that we see kind of that energy coming back, and the numbers are pretty impressive in terms of the number of companies and the number of employees and now residents downtown. But you kind of flip the coin, and you see the major corporations in St. Louis all investing in new, multi tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars of campuses far out from downtown. Whether that's out at Highway 40 and 270, or Olive and 270, or Chesterfield, or St. Charles, or something like that. Do you see a point, or are you optimistic, or do you predict that you'll start to see some of that more significant investment downtown in terms of occupying vacant office space or building new office space?
Well, I think that the principal growth downtown will be smaller businesses. A large business, say it's an office of a major corporation, their offices have some of the same characteristics as a manufacturing plant. Mm-hmm. There's a flow of paper, there's a flow even with emails and so on, there's still a flow of papers, there's a flow of information, and it's easier to do it all on one floor than on multiple floors. But the I think the growth, because of that, there'll still be growth out to the west. But the really energetic entrepreneurial work is going to concentrate more and more in downtown. I think of the smaller businesses as being more entrepreneurial. The larger business gets, and I don't want to sound like I'm critical, but the more it becomes bureaucratic and less entrepreneurial.
What and so here in St. Louis, part of what people see as a challenge, and we're kind of focused on downtown, but it just as the traditional business center, I guess, or thinking of it that way, that we have downtown Clayton, which is 9 miles from downtown St. Louis or so. And most other cities don't have, they have office parks and other districts, but not something like a downtown Clayton. How would you describe downtown Clayton? And it seems to be growing. I mean, things are being built there and proposed there.
Well, I see downtown Clayton and downtown St. Louis growing together. Now, there are certainly physical separations there. Forest Park isn't going to go away. The residential area isn't going to go away. Washington University isn't going to go away. But there's going to be a relationship between the two, which is stronger than it is now. And it's going to be out of the growth in Midtown around the Cortex area, moving west and moving east.
So you can start to see that continuity where downtown, it may be different purposes. So downtown St. Louis is a startup hub where those large buildings offer some relatively cheap space and interesting places to live, which are also relatively cheap. And, you know, if law firms want to congregate in Clayton, maybe that's, you know, maybe that's the future of Clayton with some other corporate headquarters. So.
Well, the law firms will always tend to congregate around the courthouses, of course.
Yes.
And whether it's downtown courthouses or Clayton's courthouse.
Right. So Clayton is the county seat of St. Louis County, obviously has a certain attraction just because of that.
Being the county seat is what built Clayton. At one time, it was thought that the well-to-do area in St. Louis County would be North County.
And it was for a short time, maybe.
Right.
if I read my history correctly. So.
Right.
So what, and we can get on to some retail, because that landscape has changed here drastically as well. But thinking about St. Louis, I mean, we've touched on this a couple different ways in terms of manufacturing and office space and the proximity, but it does strike me, and what you said rings really true, that, you know, Clayton and the Central West End and Cortex and St. Louis University and this string of attractions are in some respects functionally closer than they would be in other cities. I mean, you can get from the Central West End and drive or take MetroLink and it's 15, 20 minutes in a different way that, I don't know, I guess I see some of that that growth together in function, even if not in close proximity. In other cities, you know, it takes 45 minutes to go 8 miles. You're not making that meeting very often, right? You're not doing it. So.
Well, I talked with a lot of people who've moved to St. Louis. They've been transferred here, not their choice. And their first thought was, oh, boy, St. Louis.
Yeah. And we've all heard that a lot.
And in a short time, they find that they really like St. Louis. And certainly one of the factors on that is the ease of getting around in St. Louis. There may be times when we're sitting in traffic and we wonder the validity of that statement.
Right.
But St. Louis is so much easier to get around than most cities.
And all this string of Central Corridor locations are, there is MetroLink and other, you know, and I ride my bike through the Central Corridor because of Forest Park, and it's pretty easy to get places. So I wanted to move on to kind of those outer lying counties as well. And something I read kind of on your website, and your the Hilco Corporation is 30 years old this year, I think, right?
That is correct.
And so looking back on that, you know, one of the things that was said is that, you know, in the mid-80s, no one was relocating an office to St. Charles. It was kind of, it was just too far away from the city and too far away from, I guess, from downtown or where people were living, but that's obviously changed.
Well, we leased and sold a lot of space in Earth City in the late 80s, early and through the 90s, because firms wanted to be out in that area. They wanted to be where they could spread out over a fair amount of ground. Mm-hmm. But they didn't want to go across the river because they were concerned that they would be perceived as having left the St. Louis area. And to the degree they had local customers or clients, they didn't want that perception, obviously. Since then, that mental barrier has been broken through, mm-hmm. that most people in business now think of St. Charles as being part of the total business community. Mm-hmm. And with that, firms are moving rapidly to St. Charles.
Mm-hmm. And back then, I don't have the population numbers in front of me, but I know just in the last census, I think St. Charles County is now more populous than St. Louis City. And so, you know, the county, St. Louis County, hasn't changed much since 1970 at about 1 million people, but people have kind of drifted from one to the other and then further out, right? So so in terms of a population base, you have more people out there than you do in the historic part of the city, at least.
Yes, though it can be noted that St. Charles is probably a higher proportion of residential compared to businesses mm-hmm. than the city. The city still has the larger preponderance of businesses, not mm-hmm. that isn't changing.
Right. Well, it seems that population shift then pulls out things like Edward Jones, MasterCard, other things move out. And if they don't move all the way out, maybe they move to Olive and 270. And they're kind of, that's a central location for their employees, probably.
Well, one of the things when you want to do when looking for a new location for a business is where do the type of employees they want live?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the person who's making the decision?
I was going to say my theory, and not is not my own theory, but one theory has always been these companies follow the CEOs, right? Because you might want to drive 20 minutes, but not 45.
It's a very strong factor.
Yeah. So hopefully, maybe the trick is getting CEOs to move back into the city or back to Clayton or something.
Well,
and
I like to think
relocate.
I like to think that as the businesses in the incubator spaces grow mm-hmm. And grow up, that and they are being run by entrepreneurs who live in downtown or near downtown, that they will be seeking locations mm-hmm. for their businesses out of the incubator space. They've outgrown that, but seeking it in the city.
Right. Once they're established, maybe their employees live nearby and don't want a drastic change. So
that is true.
Well, let's talk about where you see strength in the St. Louis, commercial real estate business, and where isn't as strong. I don't want to draw on where is it strong, but maybe pick out a couple areas where you're seeing the most demand or the most growth.
Well, the most growth we've covered some of already is downtown, midtown, and St. Charles. Chesterfield certainly has grown dramatically.
And Chesterfield was
beginning to fill out at this point.
And so, for the very short history, is in 1993, the Chesterfield Valley was underwater.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot of development there, I understand, before 1993, but what was there was submerged. Following that flood, a significant levee was built, and now millions of square feet of retail and office parks and all kinds of things have been built, correct? And that's where the growth is happening primarily.
In the 70s, I was selling commercial land on Chesterfield Airport Road for $5,000 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
And give you.
I'm just going to get in my time machine and go purchase some of that. if you want to give me a second, I'm just going to buy it up and then fast forward.
It's more like a $500,000 an acre now.
Is it primarily because, I mean, without the levee, you wouldn't see that kind of development there. Is that correct?
Well,
that's true.
It is in a floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have a levee around it before the flood of 93, but the levee broke. It did not. It had a weak area in it, and it broke. And that actually was an interesting moment in time, because St. Louis, as most of the country at that time, was in a real estate recession, and there were spaces in St. Louis that had been on the market for 2 years or more. Nobody was taking them. And that all changed when the levee broke in St. Chesterfield. Mm-hmm. Within a week, we relocated over 40 firms coming out of Chesterfield. Hmm. And they filled all these vacant spaces that had been sitting around forever. Well, some went back to Chesterfield. Mm-hmm. Many did, but many didn't. But the general economic situation had changed where it was ready for a breakthrough, a reopening to a boom period, and is mm-hmm. waiting for a catalyst to make this happen. And the levee breaking was the catalyst.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that when we have a recession, go on.
Maybe that's the
break a levee somewhere.
But it altered the demand overnight.
In this case, it was significant. As far as future growth is concerned, I think that St. Charles is going to continue to grow. I think downtown is going to continue to grow rapidly. I think there's a good future for North City and North County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about that. We haven't touched on it at all, but you mentioned it, and it was a vibrant area. I mean, Emerson has their headquarters there. There are country clubs, and you can just go through, and you can understand how much wealth was there. Even drive around Jamestown Mall, which is now mm-hmm. vacant and sitting there, you can quickly envision that this was a place where there was a lot of investment, and it's not that anymore. So.
Well, I mentioned Emerson. I remember selling mm-hmm. a large former Emerson office building to a mm-hmm. church
yeah.
that nobody wanted it for an office.
Where was that located?
That was in Ferguson.
That was in Ferguson, okay. Right. So they were in Ferguson before they built their campus, I guess.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And mm-hmm. the property in North City, North County is, of course, relatively inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And I think that just as people have come back into Midtown, assuaged their concerns about being there, mm-hmm. I think if things settle down, North City, North County, that'll come about. And that'll be a great area for business and mm-hmm. for the residents that live around yeah. those businesses.
I think what's amazing is you go and as a marker, as a geographic point that people understand, you go to the Pruitt-Igoe site, and just north of there may or may not end up being the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency headquarters. We'll find out, I think, in March. Mm-hmm. But you're I think 2 miles from the Arch. I mean, you're like in downtown,
right.
but it's just an amazing and stark separation. So. So that would certainly be welcome. And I understand in terms of the development, I mean, you have, sewers running underneath, not specifically Pruitt-Igoe, but, 1880s wooden sewers across part of North City. So there are challenges there that probably raise the cost of it, even if the land is pretty cheap. But so it's been a challenging place to redevelop. But it's interesting to hear from you that you're, I guess, optimistic about that area, that part of the region.
Yes, I am.
Well, the last thing, so one thing we do ask, and we've touched on this and we always do in our conversations, but this is called the Future Great City Podcast. And so if you're familiar with the book from more than a century ago, there was a booster who was trying to move the nation's capital here and had all these grand visions. And my gosh, in 1900 St. Louis, I bet everything seemed possible. So the thing we ask is what would it take for St. Louis to be a future great city? And what does that, what would that mean
to you?
Well,
first you have to decide what you want mm-hmm. as a great city, what mm-hmm. might be great for one
right.
person.
For a long time, it was population growth. It was just, yes. if your city's growing, you must be great and doing things well. But I think that, and part of what we do on the Next STL website is talk about it's geared towards livability and how safe people are and education opportunities and cultural opportunities than it is, let's add 100,000 people. So
I agree with you. I don't think just growth is something to be sought. Mm-hmm. I think quality of growth is what's desirable. There are several things, many things that could be done, but some that come to mind is that we are being handicapped considerably at this point by our situation at the airport. We've lost flights out of St. Louis. As late as the late 90s, someone in Paris could jump on a plane in Paris and fly directly to St. Louis. They could come directly from London, and obviously vice versa. I remember going on a trip to Europe in the late 90s, and we missed the plane for London. Mm-hmm. We said, oh, well, that's all right. One to Paris leaves in 30 minutes. We'll just go there and then work our way back to London.
A nice option to have.
Yeah. Right. And
and this was a time when we were, St. Louis was a hub. TWA was here. American took them over and eventually cut flights and de-hubbed St. Louis.
That is right.
I'll be quick, but I've been here about a decade, and I used to travel significantly for work. And so I don't have this perspective, and I always thought people complaining about the airport were certainly onto something, but I grew up in Indiana, and you know, St. Louis, I think, still has twice as many daily flights and direct flights as Cincinnati and Indianapolis and Memphis, and maybe St. Louis doesn't like to compare ourselves. We're fixated on Chicago and other places, I understand, but it kind of blows my mind that St. Louis was a center like that for travel.
Well, this is very meaningful to businesses, because if a business is in St. Louis and is growing, it's going to have a close relationship with the other cities in the United States and internationally. And if it's hard to catch a direct flight to the city that you want to communicate with, it's difficult. And when it comes to businesses that are not in St. Louis, we're saying, where will we put our regional office? Mm-hmm. And if there's not a direct flight from the city where the business is based to St. Louis, it makes it very difficult for St. Louis to compete.
And what you see in some cities, and Pittsburgh is maybe the best example, is the business community is subsidizing flights. And so they guarantee a certain number of seats sold and make up for it if they don't. So at the end of the year, they may subsidize with $2 or $3 or $4 million just to keep a flight viable.
Well, we're on a downward spiral, unfortunately, as I understand the economics of airports. Mm-hmm. I've never run an airport, so I'm not an expert on this.
You haven't sold any airports?
No, I haven't. Okay. I actually did sell private, but it's a smaller private one. And anyway, our landing fees are high compared to other cities because of the number of flights we have. So fewer planes come in. Mm-hmm.
And the runway we built for TWA.
Yeah, so the cost per plane expensive. Goes up, so the landing fees go up more. And if there's some way to reverse that, it would be a tremendous help. I think another thing that would help, and I was speaking of the potential growth of business in North County, city and county, is if there could be a consolidation of the small cities in North County. I don't know the exact number, perhaps there's no exact number that of population that it takes for a city to really be viable as a city, but I suspect it's around 5,000 to 8,000 people to really function well as a city.
And we're seeing that unravel currently. I mean, you're seeing municipalities that can't pay police officers and can't function.
And I don't know, I don't know that just disbanding as a city is an answer, so that it becomes part of the county government.
Right.
There's a great deal to be said for having local small communities that are, you can have easily quick contact with your council person or older person that tends to obviously diffuse the larger political base you're in.
But so St. Louis County currently has 90 municipalities, I think, if I haven't missed any or something's changed since we started talking. St. Louis City is its own county. You have a system here that, again, people locally probably kind of understand is challenging, and it's been in the news nonstop for a year, but it doesn't, with a couple of exceptions, and I think St. George was in the last municipality to vote themselves out of existence, right? And that was, so they were the 91st, and that happened a couple years ago. I think it came down to they didn't want to raise taxes to repave streets or something, right? And they said, we'll let the county pay for that, and we'll go join them. Yeah. But do you see any way forward with that? I mean, that's the trick now, is that there's widespread recognition that there's dysfunction, and it's hurting the business community, it's hurting residents, but the way forward doesn't seem to be very clear.
I don't have enough political savvy to tell you.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see. Other people are working on it, I guess. People hopefully smarter than both of us, with more political savvy and more power, I hope. So, okay, well, Ben, one thing I've noticed is that you focus a lot, or at least I see most of the signs for Hilliker in an urban kind of environment, at least from the inner belt 170 in the city. Can you talk about what that means for the company and why you chose to focus on kind of urban properties?
Well, I suppose to a degree we chose to do that, but it was the natural flow of events. We work in the, it builds on itself. We work with older buildings a lot, and it takes creativity to work with older buildings. It's not a matter of someone saying, well, we want a 15,000 square foot box with 30 car parking. You take a building that already is, maybe it's multi-story, or it has peculiarities in its construction, and you have to look for ways to work around the peculiarities, or better yet, for whom would that peculiarity be a positive rather than a negative? And this is one reason we work with local companies a lot, too. When you're working with a local company, you're usually immediately talking with the decision maker. And you're able to exchange ideas with the decision maker. If you're working with a large national company that's based out of town, there are decisions being made by people that you never really have contact with.
Mm-hmm. And they have a checklist of things they want, the size of the building and things like that.
You'll be dealing usually with someone who has been given an assignment. Find a building of a certain size in a certain postal zone, with a certain ceiling height, with certain number of docks, or whatever the characteristics are. And they are not going to go away from that.
Mm-hmm. So you bring them a creative solution.
Well, if it doesn't match their checklist, they're not going to cause waves by going back and say, well, this isn't on the checklist.
Right. But, hey, boss, I know you wanted...
I found a great idea. Right. Whereas the local entrepreneur will look at, what can I really do with that? What would that really mean to my bottom line? And is much more ready to be creative.
Mm-hmm. And they're invested, in the community. They live here. Their kids go to school here. Maybe they're often in St. Louis. Their parents and grandparents are from here, right? So there may be familiarity with the neighborhood or a sense that there's a greater good to kind of come out of it.
There is a sensitivity to the St. Louis area that, for obvious reasons, you're not going to get from someone living in a distant city.
Well, and I know I've mentioned we're sitting here in a building that you know well, and the reason why space located here is they wanted a storefront in a neighborhood. They wanted to be part of the community, and I don't think you would see that happen with outside firms. I mean, they don't relocate to St. Louis and relocate employees or open a new office and make it a priority sometimes to be part of a changing neighborhood.
To overgeneralize, they are looking for the corporate look. Than the corporate setting.
Well, they're looking for predictability and predictable profit, but just predictability for employees and for their own property portfolio and things like that, right? I'm sure it's difficult to manage if you have a 1890s building and a 1940s building, and in Chicago all your buildings were from the 70s. I mean, that's not makes it more difficult, I suppose.
Well, I'm not being critical of them. They have a pattern that works for them. They find it works for them. And they don't want to branch away from that and have one odd situation in St. Louis.
And they probably need an exit strategy, right? So, I mean, I'm sure every time they lease or buy a building, or especially if they buy, they want to know, okay, when are we going to sell this, and who are we going to sell it to, and what are we going to sell it for, whether that's 5 or 10 or 20 years down the road.
That certainly comes into the farm. You're right.
Well, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I think we'll stop there. I appreciated a great conversation.
Well, I certainly enjoyed being here with you.
This has been the Future Great City Podcast on nextstl.com. You can subscribe to this podcast via RSS feed or on iTunes, and can follow the site on Twitter at nextstl. Sponsorship of the show is available with details at nextstl.com. Thanks for joining us. Be informed, be engaged, be part of what's next. nextstl.com.